before I've been coming, and since the beginning of the year, God has been asking me to legislate things, to make or enact laws. And, you know, laws are not negative things. Laws are things that give you permission to do something. So I've been making legislation and using it and calling from heaven for certain things. So I want to share as some examples of what I've been legislating for this trip and this area, and for, you know, the particular thing with the four corners of the US and the sort of arrows that cross over and connections. So I'll just share, I'll just read what it is that, and this came as I just said it, because, you know, we're talking about journaling and two-way journaling. You know, I journal everything that God says and everything I say. And I was in heaven from on a mountain, on a throne, and I was feeling called. So having felt God call me to do things, this is what I did. So I called into the region of the southwest for the wells to be dug and the fire of heaven to be made ready. Let the heavenly call for governmental authority of the order of Melchizedek be answered. I call for the mandates and blueprints to be prepared and released for the government of each area and for new heavenly order, ecclesia and embassies of heaven to arise. I call for the limitations to be removed from the eyes of the hearts to be opened to glimpse the reality of heavenly potential possibilities. Now, you know, this is just, you know, I had no idea what I was saying. I just said it, you know, it was my spirit just released it. You know, then I go back and think, what are heavenly potential possibilities that people are going to glimpse? I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, it's all about people's destinies and things that God is unveiling, the things that God's going to show them. So when I say things like this, it's like, oh, that sounds really great. And I go back and sort of like, wow, what's that really mean? So I don't really know what I'm doing, because my spirit does, but I don't need to cognitively understand before I do it. I call for faith to arise and all the distractions of the enemy to be exposed. I call for the priorities of heaven to envision the hearts of men and women to be drawn to their eternal destinies. Let the maps of men be redrawn from the perspectives of heaven. Let new boundary stones be set in place and the foundations of the perimeter of the southwest be established. I call for beyond the veil to be the dawn of a new day. I call for the glory of heaven to cause the rising and shining of a new order. I call for the light of a new dawn to break forth and the frequency of heaven's sound resonating between heaven and earth. I call for the alignment of a royal priesthood of heaven to release the oracles and legislation to be the foundations of earthly government, which is cities of refuge, embassies, ecclesias. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And, you know, once I'd done that, I then started to look into, what does God want to do? You know, and what is he going to do? So I started to see things. I went into the temple in the heavenly realms, and there's where all these maps are and different things. And I saw these maps of men. I saw them being reshaped by the frequency of heaven's call. God releasing a sound that started to draw people to different places, to engage together, to gather together, having heard that sound. So I saw the southwest map of heaven's government, and it's not earthly government or an earthly map. So what God is doing is drawing people to bring heavenly government to a region, which may be very different from what we would see from an earthly perspective. I started to see pillars of fire being connected to form a canopy over God's region here. So the establishing of embassies, which have walls of fire, our pillars of fire that form and connect to form a canopy, which will change the atmosphere, effectively. I saw scrolls coming out of heaven, carried by a very large warring angel of this region, and handing them over to other angels of those embassies or cities of refuge. So there are angels who have scrolls ready to release, and they're just looking for people to come and receive them. So I saw angels of that whole new order, those ecclesias, start to call for willing hearts of men to rise up and come forth. So I started to see portals open over the region, new scrolls for mountains of creativity. Now, I don't know what that means, but I felt that there was something about this region that carries a creativity redemptively in God that is going to be released. So I started to see heavenly mountain thrones, and the positions of government in the heavens that will be reflected on the earth start to be invested, which means people taking their places and being given authority to begin to open those portals or those everlasting doors over the regions. And I started to see God calling for the Joshua, Enoch, Daniel, Joseph generation to arise up, to take their heavenly places on those mountains, on those thrones, to prepare for the harvest by establishing the storehouses. And those, you know, whether you use storehouses or embassies or cities of refuge or ecclesias, essentially they carry the same meaning, heaven's government on the earth. But it has to be established in heaven first. So God is calling people to engage heaven and take positions there that can release things on the earth. So then I started to respond to what I was seeing, and I started to call for things. So I started to call for blueprints of heaven's scroll house to be prepared, to be released. So a lot of it was in preparation. So I called for the alignment of the 12 chancellor's houses in the realms of heaven for the southwest. So the precepts and law, statutes and laws of God align to release the ordinances of God, which is the angelic armies that will be ready. So then I started to call for the precepts and statutes to release those ordinances of heaven, to bring new mantles, weapons, scrolls, the discovery house of heaven to be start to be made ready to release mysteries that are hidden in darkness to be brought into the light. I started to see legions of angels being released into the southwest of the US with particular targets for San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco and Palm Springs initially. But you know, that's just a region. And when I say that, it's God's map that I'm looking at, not an earthly one. So I don't, I have no idea about the geography of things. I don't look, because I'm not really interested in human geography generally. I want to see from heaven's perspective. And I started to see that there were legions of angels, and that's a lot of them, ready to be released. They were starting to be released to engage. And they had targets, those legions, and their targets was to acquire the hearts of the wilderness dwellers, those who are yet to engage with heaven, to cross beyond the veil, to target their hearts. So to come and visit, to come and engage, to come and draw. And the weapons that they were carrying were released to engage those who were starting to get dissatisfied, disillusioned, hopeless and disparate. And it's like, because there are people who are starting to realize there's got to be more than this. Mm-hmm. And those are the people God's going to target. He's not going to target the entrenched people who are defending their positions and are really not really looking. He's looking for those who are starting to see a glimpse of the light. And that may, to start with, make them feel quite bad about where they are, you know. But those are going to, he's going to bring hope. So they have love bombs. Mm-hmm. There are love bombs. That's all I can describe them as, mm-hmm. but it's like they come and bring new hope and vision and experiences of heaven. You know, it's like something explodes over people. So there are other things I started to call. I started to call forth the boundary stones for the perimeter of the US, those four corners and the boundaries, to call forth a government for the southwest of USA, call forth benches of heavenly government to arise, new order ecclesia and embassies of heaven. This is sort of over a period of time, so some of it is similar because I just continue to do the same sort of thing.
So this isn't something you just came up with on this trip. You've been praying this previously?
I've been praying this since January, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, before I even knew that I was coming. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to have access to this, right?
Yeah, I'll make these PowerPoints or PDFs available for you. Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, screw it all down, yeah. No, I know what it's like trying to write it down. So same things, you know, I call for the release of the scrolls, for the blueprints and mandates for storehouses, embassies. I call for the lion to roar with governmental order and the eagle to soar with legislative authority, because this year they are working together in tandem. I call for the oracles of heaven to be released and the word and the spirit to be in union. I call for those within evangelical streams to hear the true oracles of heaven and to experience the true living word of God. Oops. The rest of them. What happened to the top one? Well, I call for evangelical charismatics to join the Orthodox in true unity and unison in the order of Melchizedek. Because God doesn't care where people come from. He just cares where they're going. So I call for streams of men to become joined to the river of life and the torrent of glory to be released into the earth. So then God said to me this, Son, come and stand in the Council of 70 as an ambassador. So it's like I'd been there, I presented court cases in there. And now I was being asked to come as an ambassador for the Joshua generation. And basically God said this, set the boundary stones for the southwest of the US and the UK for the perimeter that will form the environment for the Joshua generation to arise and occupy as pioneers. So there was a boundary that God is setting with boundary stones, which are people who will start to resonate with a frequency that comes from heaven, and those frequencies will draw people and will create an environment where people can hear what God is calling them to, destiny, heaven, coming into their heavenly positions of sonship, all that stuff. So set the boundary stones in place for the area. Call for the benches for the local blueprints to be established, which is, you know, really my desire. I really desire to see benches established for blueprints from heaven on the earth. I call for those who will be the sounds for their areas, cities, regions, and nations. There are people who are those boundary stones that carry a sound. People may never know who they are, but they're releasing something that's changing an atmosphere that opens up people's hearts to engage with heaven and engage with God. I call for them to be strongly planted in identity and heavenly authority. I call for the government of San Diego, Los Angeles, and Phoenix, the three places that I'm going in this area. And I really want to see government. You know, I just want to see people accept the responsibilities that God's calling them to. I release a blue light call for the boundary stones to receive their scrolls and mandates. I release the audience of heaven to engage by encounter in dreams and visions and visitations. I call for the judgments to be delivered in justice for the new order. So in other words, choices to be given people. I call for a blueprint for the Southwest to come forth and the governmental strategies to be released, because God wants to show you how to do it. I call for a revelation of the wells of fire to be unveiled. I call for the wells of the pillars of fire to come together. So those are some of the things I've been doing really over the last few months. And there's many other things. I just couldn't go into all of it. But giving you an example of some of the things you can start to do. You use the authority to begin to call forth, to direct, to create an environment. You know, a lot of that stuff is as a response of my spirit getting to the heart of God and feeling something of God's heart for our region or an area. And then I just sort of say things, you know. And none of that was stuff I sat down and thought, oh, I'll produce some sort of thing for the Southwest. I just said it, but because I record it, write it down, then I've always got a record of it. And then I, after a while, I start to see patterns. Oh, I said this three times in the last week. Okay, this is obviously something that's significant in what God is wanting to do. So then I draw those patterns. So looking at embassies of heaven, and we were looking yesterday that, you know, God wants to establish those embassies of heaven. Sons of the kingdom essentially bring a colonization of the world, which was what Adam and Eve were called to do. So this Genesis 1:28, God blessed them. God said to them to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it. That's the mandate of sonship. That's why we can see these embassies of heaven. It's like God gave Adam and Eve a garden. And that garden was supposed to expand and fill the earth. And once it had filled the earth, it was then going to expand and fill the solar system, and it was going to expand and fill the galaxy. It's like there is no end to the increase of his government and of peace. So we can't just limit it to what we're doing here. You know, But we need to start here, because we're never going to get beyond here unless we get this place sorted out. So there's a responsibility to have that desire to see the kingdom grow and fill the earth. But not in the way in which it's been done before, about power and people's power and, you know, in the natural world, it's all about creating empires, and creating a forced environment where we rule, where God's desire is the kingdom comes through love. It's a rule of peace. It's to bring blessing. It's to bring a demonstration of what God's kingdom is like. Now, God doesn't come into my life and make me a slave. He comes and calls me to be a son. So the kingdom is about sonship. It's releasing people into their destiny. It's not controlling them or ruling them in a way that, well, we're telling you what to do. It's all about everybody having direct access to hear God for themselves and outwork their destiny as part of his overall. Because every one of our destinies fits into his master blueprint for the universe. We may only seem to be one little fraction of that, but without us, something doesn't take place. So we're all important. And all our role is, you know, is important to take place, which is why it's so important not to say no. And not to think, oh, I can't do this, I'm not good enough, you know, I'm not worthy enough, I don't know enough, I'm not powerful enough. Mm. And you know, all those negative things that go through your mind, you have to reject them. Listen to what God says. He says that there's nothing impossible with him. You know, that's why the limitations need to be removed. I did a legislative court case to remove the limitations that were on people's mind in our church. And it was just like, you know, caused mayhem. And that's one of those laws of unintended consequences. That I was doing this, and all of a sudden people started to get all this stuff, visions and dreams and all this stuff. And I'm like, they were sort of like, because I wanted the limitations that they had put on them, or they put on themselves, removed. And they started glimpsing things which were just sort of out there. And they were like, whoa, what's all this? And there's... these are the just glimpses of these potential possibilities that exist if we engage with God, who is creative, and we are made in his image, creative, and we can operate in creative light in the realm of heaven, and therefore we can actually be creative on the earth. See, a city of refuge, an embassy, is not going to function under normal conditions. So all an understanding of the quantum realm and how frequency and vibration and resonance works, we will be able to use the things that Jesus did. So all the many miracles he did, they weren't magic. He understood the laws of heaven and earth, and he was able to draw out of that supernatural realm and manifest it in the natural realm. He was able to control the vibrational frequency of the water so it became solid when his feet went on it. That's how he walked on the water, because I asked him and he showed me how he did it. Mm. How did he pass through people? Mm. He was able to control the vibrational frequency of his body so that it actually was able to go into the quantum realm, which is called quantum tunneling, and come out the other side of people. Because that realm operates at a faster speed of light than this realm. So you go into that realm and you can instantly be a million miles away. Which is why you can be in other parts of the universe or other parts of the world, be trans-relocated or translated. Because you go into a quantum realm which is operating at a faster speed. So, and in scientific terms, they would fire, let's say, photons at a LED screen. Now, nothing can go through a LED screen. But then they had a detector on the other side of a LED screen, and they were detecting photons on the other side, which is impossible from a physical relative perspective. But actually, what it means is that those photons are non-local for part of their time, and they're going in and out of the realm of zero-point energy, and therefore they come out the other side. You know, and there's scientific experiments that say that you could take two paired particles and separate them by a billion miles, and you do something to one of them and the same thing affected to the other one. Well, we can't communicate through normal communication speeds of light or sound over a billion miles and it be instant. You know, if you go to Mars, it takes 12 minutes for the signal to come back. That's why, because I watched Martian on the way over on the plane. So I know that. Yeah. And but in the quantum realm, those two particles are connected because they are connected non-locally. And we need to, because a lot of people think they sort of start to glaze over and think, well, I don't really need to know any of that. I'll just do things by faith. Well, yeah, that's okay. But when you need to walk on water, how are you going to do it? Unless you understand how to rule, because you're ruling over the natural laws. If you need to levitate into the air to avoid being hit by a car, let's say, who's coming at you, you need to know how to do it. Or if you want to go out of phase so the car goes right through you and doesn't touch you, you need to be able to do it.
Now, the experiences I've heard of people who've had each of those events have nothing to do with it.
Because at that point, God was doing it on our behalf because we're immature and don't know how to do it. And it's the same thing. As children, God does so much for us. When he's calling us to mature into sonship as co-heirs, he's expecting us to know what to do. So in a city of refuge, let's say, we have no water because the water system has been turned off and there's a shaking of all the governmental systems and we have no water or all the water's polluted. What are we going to do? Well, I would say I have a precedent in the Word of God. Here's a rock here. Let's call some water out of it. Or I have a precedent in the Word of God that the aquifers of the deep or the fountains of the deep were opened and water came up from under the earth. So I'm going to open an aquifer and we're going to have a whole new water source. Okay, we have no food. What are we going to do? Well, we have the creative ability to call things into existence that don't exist. Or we can multiply what we do have, and we have precedent in that we have a jar of oil that kept being poured out and filling, filling and filling until there was nothing left to fill. So we have biblical precedent to take some of those things that have happened in the past and begin to effectively use those things governmentally now. The problem is a lot of people think everything's just going to carry on the same. So you never prepare for anything different because, well, it's all going to be much the same as we are now. Well, I don't believe it is going to be just the same as it is now. So we need to be preparing for that. Okay, there is no power grid. The power grid's turned off. What are we going to do for power? Well, we can prepare in advance. So we can think, okay, I'm going to put a turbine up for wind power, or I'm going to put solar panels up for solar power. I'm going to think of the creative things that are already there in inventions, or actually I'm going to go into the realm of heaven, into the mysteries that are hidden in darkness in heaven, into the discoveries, and I'm going to draw witty inventions and fresh understanding of power sources that we're going to use that are going to be totally different. So and then you have Jesus saying, well, when I come and dwell with you, you don't need the light of the sun because I am the light. And of course, we're supposed to radiate light. So can we be power sources? Who knows? But there's more to this than the natural things that we see. So we need to learn how to rule in from a heavenly perspective to bring heaven's law into this earth and suit, because it's a higher law. Anytime a miracle takes place, it is super in, I don't know the word, but it's overcoming a natural law with a heavenly higher law. So it's not a natural law that someone's limb can regrow. But Jesus did it. How? Well, there are various ways he could have done it. He could have spoken to the cells that were there and he could have multiplied them and called them forth because he has an awareness of the frequency and the vibration because he knows the pattern that we're all created in. It's never lost. Nothing ever Nothing ever is destroyed, it just changes form. So we can call back things if we know the original pattern, which is the oracles of God, and an eternal understanding of the nature of how we were made. We can use that knowledge and we can call things back. So nothing ever is non-existent, it just exists in different forms. So if you know the original pattern, then you can call something back into its original form. So if you know the original pattern, you can call forth for a limb to grow. Now, some people talk about the limb room in heaven or something, where there are new limbs and there are new this, and you can take them out of heaven. And, you know, that's entirely possible. But there are different ways of doing every miracle. And Jesus did them lots of different ways. Sometimes he spoke, sometimes he put his hand, sometimes he spat, sometimes he made mud. You know, he did different things at different times. And we need to be able to hear God, see what he's doing, and then outwork that. So there's a whole different dimension of an embassy of heaven on earth, which we won't start with that. It's that we'll start with, hey, let's gather together as God's people and let's start to seek him and let's get intimate and let's learn how to do this together. But we've got to realize it's going somewhere. And the things that we are going to be doing are greater works than Jesus did when he was on the earth. So there, think of all the things he did. He disappeared in front of people. He hid himself in the temple. Well, he didn't go and hide in a cupboard. He became invisible. How did he become invisible? Because he was able to engage another realm and take his whole body, because he was able to encompass his spirit around his body, which is what Adam started like, and restore that and go back into that realm. So the understanding the whole, you know, that's why when I first went into heaven, the very first things in my sort of fast, God gave me a quantum physics lesson. And when Jesus said to me, "Hey, what do you want to know?" Instantly my question was, how did you do that miracle? Mm-hmm. Now, I've never was interested in how he did miracles before. It's just like, well, accepted he did them. You know, I've done miracles. It's just like, I pray and whatever happens. But God said, no, that's not enough. You need to know how I do it so that you are able to operate like me. So then When I then started to practice engaging flowing from inside out, I started to engage the gateways of my spirit. And what God showed me in the first quantum physics lesson, that his grace, and you know, we have all sorts of connotations of what grace is, but he told me that his grace is his divine enabling power. And he said his grace is available in everything. Because it says in Ephesians 4:6, that he is in and through and over everything. And so he then described to me what was string theory. Mm. That the theory of everything is vibrating strings of energy, which are the grace of God, his voice, how he created everything, still vibrating and holding everything together. So that in the quantum realm is what we call zero point energy, which is when they had a vacuum, and they tested to see if there was any activity in the vacuum. And there should be none, of course, because it's empty. Well, they found there was kinetic activity in the vacuum. So then they had this good idea. Well, if we cool this down to zero point energy, the coldest it can get, then nothing can move. So there shouldn't be anything in there. So they cool down this vacuum. And, of course, they find kinetic energy. So they postulated that there must have been something coming into that thing from outside, a non-local perspective. And everything that exists in this realm is essentially empowered from that realm. That carries the energy to keep this whole realm together so it doesn't fly apart. Other ways of looking at it, nothing exists without observation. And again, quantum physics has proved this, that you can look at something and the way you look at it determines which way it will operate. So you look at, you know, and they did this work with electron spinning and said to people, look at these electrons, which way do you think they're going to spin? Clockwise? They looked at it clockwise. Someone else looked at the same electrons, anti-clockwise, and it spun anti-clockwise. So we have the power of our thinking, our consciousness, to effectively control the quantum realm. Now, if God wasn't observing us, we wouldn't exist. That's the reality. Now, it's a personal observation, not a impersonal force, which is the sort of more Eastern viewpoint that a lot of quantum physicists came up with because they couldn't find a Western viewpoint that fitted their view. Sadly, we didn't provide them with a mindset. I mean, I love Phil Mason's book, Quantum Glory, which really goes into this and sort of goes into some of the understanding of it. But literally, one sugar cube of zero-point energy can power 400 billion galaxies. That's how powerful that realm is. Because God is infinite. It's amazing. I mean, you know, now some of this stuff is like, oh, well, does it really matter? Well, it doesn't seem to matter much at the moment, but it will matter if you're in a situation where you need to actually start to function and bring heaven's laws into the earth and effectively change. So cities of refuge, I don't believe we're going to be operating in the same way we're operating now. So I'm practicing doing some of the things I know that I'm going to be doing then. So that means moving around to and fro around the earth without actually flying on a plane. So when I get together in our worship times on a Sunday, because I'm not really responsible for what's going on, I just go and explore. And so I've been taken to places and gone and ministered to people in different parts of the world as a translation. My body is still there, but I'm gone. I'm no awareness of what's going on in the room. I'm just gone somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And I believe our worship services are not going to be us coming to sing nice songs to God. I believe our worship services are going to come around the Ark of the Presence of God, engage in the four faces of God, and be assigned to go all over the world doing things, engaging with the world. And it's one day I was in there, one Sunday morning I was there, and I was having a great time and standing before the presence of God, and God said, right, I want to take you. So I went into the US in 1824, into this place, and I went and I knocked on the door, and people seemed to be waiting for somebody. So I came into this house, and they led me into this room, and this woman had just died in childbirth. And so I looked and felt stirred in my spirit just to call her back. And I literally, in my spirit, went into the cloud of witnesses and called her spirit back into her body. Just there, standing up, doing it. And it's like, and I'm thinking, I'm a bit freaked out. You know, I mean, like my mind is fighting what my spirit is doing at this point. Because I'm thinking, whoa, am I imagining this? Is this happening? Is this real? And it's just, and I'm not in the room. I mean, I'm, you know, physically my body's still there because I asked people later on, you know, what was I doing? So it's like, well, you were standing there. So I sort of like, you know, so I this person comes back to life, embraces her baby, and it's just like, and I'm like, okay, what was going on? And God said, she has a child to bring into the world that will have a major impact in the future. Now, people look at those things and think, well, did I go and change time or history? No. I was available in creative light that God could take me into the timeline and answer the prayer because they were calling out on God. Mm-hmm. And they had no one to help them because a woman had died. Mm-hmm. But they were calling out on God, and God used me because I was available to go and answer their prayer. I'd always done that, but I am only aware of doing it now because God took me out of this time and used me in that time. I didn't change what happened. That always happened. But I am only aware of it now because I'm linear. But God used me now to go and do that then, but it always happened like that. And God can use you like that. And I've got testimonies of lots of people who have done similar things and had encounters where God has just taken them. So we need to remove the limits of what we can do and where God can use us and how we can begin to bring change. And so the miracles that Jesus did are great, and healing the people and raising the dead and all those things. And we will get to do that sort of stuff. But there's more. And that's, we're not limited by what he did physically. And he did a lot of things physically, which most people don't really look at and think, like passing through people. You know, it's like, you know, when he was going to be thrown off the cliff, you know, in Nazareth, and they were like, oh, he passed through them. It's almost like, well, they parted and they let him go. Well, they were going to throw him off the cliff. It's like, no, he passed through them. They couldn't touch him. because he was no longer there in that dimension, that they could touch him and throw him off a cliff. You know, because he was able to control his body and the vibrational frequency of his body and align it. And so, you know, some of these things are a little bit out there, but when you start to see some of the things that happened in scripture and there are precedents, Joshua, what did Joshua do? Stop the sun. Well, how did that work? Well, you know, Hezekiah asked for a sign and the thing went backwards, didn't it? So the shadow went backwards and there was another period where he lived the time over again. When we learn to rule as sons, we have the authority to do those things. And we will be able to do some of those things. Now, they're not party tricks. So I don't mess around with it. You know, I know how I could put my hand through that table by controlling the vibrational frequency of my hand to match up with the frequency of the table so that it goes into it. God's shown me how to do it. I would never dream of, oh, well, I'm going to do that to show off. If I don't need to do it, why would I do it? So I know how to do a lot of things that I don't do because there's no need to do them. But I know that God has taught me how to do them because there will be a time when I need to do them. And I won't be running around like a headless chicken panicking and go, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. Because I've engaged God and he's shown me some of the things that I will be able to do and can do. But it's like, when I was, that whole thing about removing the limitations to expand the potential possibilities, we've got to get it expanded. Our consciousness needs to expand. There is way more, you know, than what we've yet experienced. And
I've got a question. You said that God has taught you how to do that. I know that as we get older and we learn things, we forget. So is that something that you feel that is just in you, like as an experience?
Oh, I planted it in the garden of my heart, for sure. Okay. It's there as fruit. And I will be able to give that fruit away to others. But others can seek God for themselves. And, okay, God, who am I as a son? And what are the things that you are calling me to do in sonship? Because we're all different. It's not that we're all going to be clones and all do the same things. You know, we're all different. We're all designed differently. We're all made redemptively differently. We think differently. And that's how God made us unique and wonderful. We're all special. Yeah, I'm really special before God, but I'm no more special than each of you is. But I know how special I am, and you need to know how special you are. Because when you know who you are and you know your identity, you know, when Jesus started teaching me about being gentle and humble in heart, you know, people have a connotation of what that means. You know, it's like, oh, gentle. Well, how he taught me about it was, he was basically saying, you know, all those who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and find rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So this was discipleship. So every day when I yoke myself to Jesus to be discipled by him, he is teaching me, I am learning to be gentle and humble in heart. Mm. Which means he's teaching me to know my identity as a son and to use that identity to fulfill my destiny. And the picture of gentleness that the Greek word represented was, and this is what Jesus described to me, was a wild stallion. But a wild stallion with strength, knowing how strong it is, but actually having a bit in its mouth and a rider being able to direct it. And essentially what he was saying is, you need to know how powerful you are, but you need to totally surrender only to use that power for the things that I show you what to do. That's true gentleness. It's not being a doormat and being meek that people will tread all over you. And it's not saying that you will never say no. Because the power that I have, I can say no to the enemy. Mm-hmm. I can say no, no further. I can be a boundary stone that says you cannot pass. But I need to know my authority and my power to do that. But I only do it in the things that he shows me to see what the Father's doing. I don't use it to promote myself or to elevate, oh, look at him, he can do all these things. So most of the stuff I ever do, I don't share what I do with a lot of people because I don't, it's not about me. People don't need to know unless I'm trying to teach you how to do it. And people who gather here, so I'll share some of my legislative things because you need to know how to do it, and they make it be helpful for you as a patron that you can go and find how you legislate yourself. The majority of times I'm doing things in secret because no one needs to know. And I don't want people to know because I don't want people to be looking at me. I want people to see the results of some of the things I'm doing and glorify God. He's like, wow, isn't God good? But he uses us as his children, as co-heirs, to begin to rule and legislate some of those things. People don't need to know. So the limitations of what's possible, God is starting to remove, and he's expanding our conscious awareness of how we can rule, how we can subdue, how we can fill. So when I'm filling things, I'm expanding the boundaries of the kingdom. So the kingdom is in us, Luke 17:21. The kingdom is within you. So that kingdom in us is where God rules. So God rules in this little area behind a door that he's knocking on every day saying, will you let me in? And if we don't let him in, the kingdom is that little area, which ultimately opens up into the whole of heaven, because heaven is in us in that little area. But it can go no further than that little area unless we let it into our spirit and soul and body and the world around us. So we open the first love gate. Other than that, we have a trickle of the river of life, which brings amazing miracles, brings signs and wonders and spiritual gifts and wonderful things, but it's just a trickle. It needs to develop into a flood. And so when I open my first love gate and I welcome the kingdom, God's presence, his rule into my spirit, and I yield and surrender to his rule, then the kingdom can never be contained by desire and design. It's designed to expand. There's no end to the increase of his government. So it's designed to always go out further. So if I allow that by opening my spirit gates and surrendering my soul, and my soul comes into agreement with my spirit, and my soul gates are open, and my body gates are open, then that kingdom, the boundary of that kingdom, goes beyond my spirit to my soul, around my body. So I now have the kingdom that I am filling a sphere of influence of government around my life. And so people who come close enough to me can encounter that rule, and they would, in a sense, feel the love of God, because I want to fill that with love. I don't want to fill it with fear or a sense of authority or power. I want it to be filled with love, so that the frequency that I vibrate at is love. You know, it carries the highest frequency that can change anything, because love can change anything. So I want that which is flowing. And you think of the river of life, the river flows as like little waves. Well, it's a wavelength. It's a vibrational frequency. It's not real water. It's living water. It's an energy source, which is spirit. And it has a frequency that can grow outwards. So then I started to expand the boundaries of where that would go. So it then goes around my home and my family. And so, you know, I'm aware of what's going on in my family because I've extended the boundaries around that I can interact with that realm. Now, that doesn't mean I control my family. It means I bless them and I love them, and I call forth their destinies, and I want to see the kingdom bless in them. So we fill the earth by letting God out of us to flow with us, because we become one spirit with him. When we're joined to the Lord, which is what happens in first love, we join ourselves to the Lord, Father, Son, and Spirit. We then become one spirit, and then that can expand. So we're continually extending the boundaries of authority that we carry. Now, we can only extend it to the realms that we have spiritual authority in, which is why we need to know the mountains of our life. Those are the governmental areas that we have responsibility for. I can't go and tread on someone else's responsibility. I wouldn't dream of doing so. But I know the areas that I have authority in, and because I'm part of benches for different things, I have authority within the church. So I can extend the kingdom that's in me around the church at home, and I can bless and empower and release and pour love into it and call people forth to fulfill their destinies and stuff, because I have a sphere of government that covers that. Say for our local area, God has called me to be governmental to our local area. People in the area don't need to know what I'm doing. You know, some of them do because we talk, but in general, it's not, I just get on with it. But then I can start to administrate into our local area. So I can start to call for shaking to take place, or the mountains to start to be shaken and light to come, or angels to be released, or any of the other things that I can mandate into. So, you know, we can think of all the miracles and healings and things which Jesus did. All those will take place in a city of refuge, in an embassy, you know, because Jesus operated under a higher law. We'll be able to do all those things. They will just be normal, natural life. But there will be other things, you know, that it will go beyond presently where we are at. Well, some people are at that. Some people are doing amazing things right now. You know, but all of us will be able to fulfill sonship in maturity if we are willing to mature, you know. So, you know, that whole verse carries with it amazing depths. You know, I could sit and talk about that verse for days, really. What it is to be blessed. You know, how God empowers us. How he speaks into us and gives us authority. And he empowers us to succeed. So he gives us a mandate. Then he gives us the authority to fulfill the mandate. Then he gives us a strategy to outwork the mandate, all in relationship. So he's blessed me, and I receive that blessing every day from him. I receive his empowerment every day. So I never have to do anything in my own strength, because I'm empowered, you know, and then I can be fruitful. Because what did God do? God said to them. He spoke to them. It's so important to hear the voice of God. God speaks. That voice carries a frequency that carries that grace of God, that vibrational frequency that can change things. I know I'm following a few rabbit trails here, but, you know, going back to one of them that I never finished, you know, when I was looking at things flowing from the inside out, I looked at my faith gate. So I was looking at, how does my faith gate work? What happens with faith, and how does faith work? So like God said, well, what do you have in your spirit of the word of God? So it's like, okay, well, let's say healing. Lay hands on the sick and see them recover. So I have a statement that God says, you have authority to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Now, I then engage that in faith. And I seek for, am I authorized to use that mandate now? I never make an assumption that just because there's a general word, that that's a specific mandate. So I would then apply, God, am I authorized to use this? I can lay hands on this person now. Yes, okay. So now, what do? I then see a flow of that faith come and create within my hand. Let's say I'm going to use my hand to lay hands on somebody, or I can speak words. So it could be in my voice or the things I say, or in my hand. My hand has within it the grace of God, vibrational strings of energy in the fabric of my hand. When I mix faith with grace, anointing forms. So a charge of electricity, energy, power, anointing forms in my hand. So when I lay hands on people, they may feel intense heat or may feel a charge of tingling, because there's a tangible manifestation of God's grace to touch them. So then when I lay hands on them, I am vibrating at a frequency that can touch into their physical body at the level that God is showing me is the issue. So I don't just go, be healed. I speak into what I'm seeing in the spiritual realm. And I speak into perhaps their DNA or into the cells or into trauma that may be in their cells, a memory, because cells have memory, that then I speak with the authority and the vibrational frequency that can change that and reorder it or resequence it or set them free. And so I used to practice doing that, you know, just because I wanted to practice. Well, how do I activate this? How do I see this work? Rather than, well, I'm just going to do it and hope something happens. You know, and I'm not saying some people just don't do it because God's grace will do that. But he wants me to mature and understand in sonship that I can do this specifically and not just be a bystander in it. Almost like, well, I'm just a channel of God's grace. Yeah, great. I'd love to be a channel. But actually that channel can be either a wide channel that things just come out, or it can be so focused down that it can be like a laser beam that pinpoints something. You know, if you were doing laser surgery or something, you can burn up a cancer in someone. Literally, you can do laser surgery by focusing that energy that comes through grace into someone's body to bring healing. You know, it's a miracle because you're essentially instantly changing something rather than healing. Miracles sometimes take time. Sometimes healing has outworked over a period and it begins and it continues. Miracles generally happen instantly. So there's a lot of things that I think God will give us insight into so that we're going to operate in levels of authority which are the greater works of Jesus, not just his works. And most people would be really happy with his works right now, which is great. But we have to start thinking beyond. What do we need to have in the future? What are we going to need to have as a city, a refuge or an embassy? How do we govern that? Because in a kingdom, there's government, you know. So we will have the need for power, the need for energy, the need for food, the need for water, the need for various things within the operation of that city, that place, that we have to rule and we have to govern and we have to administrate in heaven, but being gateways into the earth individually, and then as a corporate sense where we are a pillar of fire and we have walls of fire, how are people going to get in? They're going to come through the fire, you know, because they'll want what we are demonstrating as light, because we're salt, we're light, we're drawing, you know, moths get drawn to the light. Why? You know, well, something in them draws them to the light. Well, when we start demonstrating the kingdom and the mountain of the house of the Lord raised up above all the other mountains, and all the other mountains get shaken, and because it says in Hebrews 12 that everything's going to be shaken, only of that of the kingdom is going to remain. So all the other governmental things are going to fail at one point or another. When people are relying on all those things and no longer working, where are they going to go? They're going to be looking for places that have health, and have provision, and have blessing. And they're going to be looking to the church, which is the mountain of the house of the Lord, raised up above all the other mountains. We have to be that city on a hill. We have to be visible. There may be a supernatural drawing that the vibrational frequency that we carry reaches out to people and they get drawn like a moth to a flame, you know. But the flame they're going to be coming to is not going to destroy them. It's going to transform them. So there's a lot, you know, that we're going to have to think about now in preparation for what's coming. And yes, we need to learn to do all the miracles. We need to learn to be demonstrating the love of God. We need to learn to lay hands on people and see them recover and minister to people and set them free and do all the things that Jesus did. We need to learn to do those things, and that will be part of our things. The problem is people are only looking at that as that's it. They only look at the works of Jesus, not the greater works. the governmental aspect of what Jesus was doing by living in dual realms, they're not aware of. So there's a limitation in that. Whereas when we start to engage God and we start to explore going into the presence of God, going into the different places in heaven, some of the limitations get removed and we get revelation of things which begin to expand our understanding so that we start to align the times and the seasons. Because it was the stars that set the times and the seasons, the sun, the moon, the stars. So we will need to learn to align things seasonally to bring change and transformation. So that we're not subject to time, but time is subject to us. Which is, again, this is different. You have the precedence. Hey, we need more light today. Okay, well, we're going to stop the sun going down because we need more light today. Okay, when we have precedent, we can do it. But there may be more than that. They may go beyond that into more. Hey, we can generate a light here today. So I believe the whole thing of removing limitations is the key to where we are, so that the potential possibilities in God get expanded and we start to think be outside of the box and start thinking outside of the religious restrictions and the ways in which we've been taught, the ways we've been brought up. And it's like, it just, well, either it happens, you know, God is sovereign, it'll just happen, or it won't happen. It's like, well, yeah, God is sovereign, but he's chosen to use us. So unless we rule, God is limiting himself to us. And it's like, I find that amazing to think about, but he has. He's totally complete in himself, obviously, but he has chosen to have earth be government. Which was the problem when Satan looked at, as he was at the time, Lucifer looked into the firestones and saw the God's desire for his sons and what they would be doing in ruling the heavens and the earth. He had no problem with us in the earthly perspective, but the heavenly one, he wasn't too pleased that all the things that the angels were doing were there waiting for us to mature into sonship. Because God created the whole of the realms, both seen and unseen, for us, because we're a created spirit that has a body, so we can operate in dual realms. So there's so much more than we can imagine or think, but when we start to go beyond the realms of earth into the realms of heaven, all of a sudden that imagination becomes unveiled. And suddenly we start to engage things and see things from a different perspective. A heavenly one. Rather than an earthly one. I mean, you know, it's exciting, there's opportunities. And, you know, I look at it. The problem is you can look at where we are and think, oh, how can we possibly get to there? But nothing's impossible with God when we start to say yes. And, you know, a lot of people I know right now are like, well, yeah, but how can I possibly think of being doing this? You know, I know God is calling people to be part of embassies of heaven on earth. I know people are being stirred to be part of it, but their own mindsets are limiting them because they don't believe that they're capable of doing it. Because we've been brought up with, well, if you're going to do this, you have to have this, and you have to have done that, and you have to have done this. And God is just looking for people who will say yes and follow him. Because he will empower and he will give you everything you need to be able to fulfill your destiny and what he's calling you to do. So don't be limited. Don't be limited by what anyone else has said about you or what you might have thought about yourself or what your past has done to you. Don't live from your past, live from eternity. Because if you go back into what was before anything was, which is eternity, and you embrace an eternal perspective, you can walk back into what is, which is the realm of heaven, and you can from heaven create what will be. And then what will be will align with what was, which is the whole thing of this eternal circle pathway we're called to be part of, and walk the ancient paths. and nothing's impossible. Well, I didn't get really beyond one slide. But I may have said some things that the other slides may have said.
146 left,
right? Yes. Oh, yeah, there's 100. There's a... So, I think, yeah, we'll leave it there. I mean, but, you know, I think it'd be really good just to maybe do an exercise that just look to take you into that realm so that you can engage in that realm. So I want to encourage you again just to relax and just close your eyes and activate the eyes of your heart and just shift your focus from this realm and accept that there is an open heaven, there is that Jacob's ladder, and the invitation to come up here. So by faith, just take that invitation. Don't try and see or try and visualize. Just focus on the open door and the invitation, and by faith take a step. And you may see, you may feel, you may sense, you may perceive. You may not really engage in any of those things, but your spirit is receiving. So just take that step and come through the veil and come into the realm of the kingdom, where the Lord is standing in that doorway waiting to welcome you, waiting to embrace you. Sense the atmosphere of heaven. Just breathe it in. Glory. And we just present ourselves as living sacrifices today before you. Not our will, but yours be done. And I would ask, Jesus, as we come and meet with you, that you would remove the limitations that are on each person's mind, so that they can get a glimpse of those potential possibilities of their destiny. And I would ask that you would take each person to where they need to go today, to experience what they need to experience in the way they need to experience it, so that they can come into that place of sonship, receive a mandate to outwork your will and purpose. So Jesus, just take each person by the hand right now and just lead them. I ask that you would just bring us through the veils to come before your presence, around the ark of your presence. Our desire to resonate with your will, that our food would be the will of you that send us. And we come with an attitude of, here am I, send me. We open our hearts and we ask that you would unveil something new of our identity as a son, as our calling, our purpose, our destiny. Just give each person a sense of a scroll that contains something of that mandate. Just spend some time engaging, being open to receive. Just ask right now that if each person receives that scroll from you, if there's any connection with the City of Refuge or an Embassy of Heaven or a New Order Ecclesia, you would unveil that to each heart. for this area, the area that they live, the area that they're called to. That you would just help them engage. Receive that call, free from the limitations of earth and the past, to receive that eternal heavenly perspective as we stand before the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. In your presence, unveil that heavenly perspective of who we are as sons, as daughters of God. So we would embrace the fullness of who we are in you. Thank you. just encourage you to take what you've received, just put it into the garden of your heart, store it, anchor it there, let it produce fruit in you that you can go back to, that you can re-engage. And if you're being called to be part of something that God's doing in these days, say yes. Don't say no. Just embrace it, even if it might seem totally impossible to your natural mind. Just know that God's called you. I had some declarations that I made, which I put up there, which is, you know, what I did when I chose to accept things. And it was like, you know, I said, I choose to accept my commission as an ambassador of heaven on earth. I choose to live according to the principles of heaven. I choose to receive my direction and protection from heaven. I choose to live from the resources of heaven. There's things there which... find the rest of them. I lost that. I choose not to be influenced by the ideals, culture, and philosophy of the earth. I choose to become an agent, a counterculture of heaven. I choose to live a supernatural lifestyle with a higher level of authority. I choose to be an example of the kingdom, the attitudes and character of Jesus. And I choose to demonstrate the good news of Jesus in word and deed. I choose to be salt and light in my world. I am a minister of reconciliation to make disciples for the kingdom of God. I am an ambassador of heaven to transform the earth. It's like, you know, that was just something I felt, you know, I really wanted to affirm who I am. Make your own declarations, who you've affirmed to be, but go for it, you know. I don't know if you want to share anything in terms, because I know Justin's got a blueprint for something here, and, you know, I think, you know, he's looking for others to come and gather with that. And to embrace, you know, they need a bench of three, it needs a bench of seven, it needs to function. You know, and I saw angels, you know, ready to land these things. You know, where I saw earlier that this major angel for the region was given area angels, scrolls, they need to land. And they need to actually start to be outworked. I don't know if you want to share anything.
Sure, I'll just share the experience I had. Yeah. When I first moved here just about 5 years ago, I was just in my home, just thinking about kind of my career, what I wanted to do with it, and kind of all my dreams and ambitions, and kind of got stopped short and sort of felt empty. Gosh, yeah, is this, you know, ever since I was a kid, I wanted to do something substantial for the kingdom. If I accomplish all these things, I'm going to get lots of packs on the back and told how wonderful I am, but how much eternal significance is there in this? And I kind of felt bummed out by it. Have I really missed God's plan for my life? And as I often do when I want to connect the door, to get in the car, to get my worship music going, and drive up the road. By about the time I got to Dana Point area, I just had this encounter, tears, whatever. It was this whole concept. Like, I'd never heard anybody else say that until Mike came to town, of an embassy of heaven. He showed me this home. It was a large home where, you know, the problems of the church up till now is that they've been based on doctrines and concepts and ideals. And he said, no, this one is based on family. People can have completely different embassies, but we love them because they're part of our family. And in this place, you would cultivate an atmosphere of heaven. And he gave me the example of Azusa Street. You know, Azusa Street, the glory cloud would roll and they'd see the fire overhead, and the things would take place, and they were exactly how people would describe heaven moving. They'd all stand up together as the spirit orchestrated, and sit down together as the spirit orchestrated. The miraculous was available to them, and it's just, that was a little microcosm of heaven on earth. And the concept was that this stuff is not just accidental things that God drops on people from time to time, but the commission would be to build this, an actual embassy on, you know, in San Diego, where when people walk across the threshold, they're no longer on U.S. government property, but they're on heaven property. And then verses like, you know, entertaining angels unawares, You know, once you get across that, you're entertaining angels or wares. I mean, the presence of cloud of witnesses or angels waiting, it just got kind of wild. And the commission of this group would be, it wouldn't be something that's known or advertised, but it would be people that come to undergird what's already going on in the community. Bring the pastors in who are people who have fallen, and you're restoring them and you're ministering to them. Everybody there would have a job, but they would also have these, you know, jobs, whether it be keeping the grounds or keeping the house or whatever it be. But they would also be, you know, administrators, intercessors, people who are doing a kingdom job at the same time. But these people brought through, and they'd be brought in for a period of time, ministered to, and sort of launched into what they're doing. Then you got to this whole education realm, showing the things that are wrong with the church and the way the church system has worked. Is people give these massive lectures to great audiences of how to operate in the gifts of God, and nobody can walk out of something like that knowing how to do it. But instead of that, there would be these workshops where people in groups where we can interact like this would learn the skills of, you know, basic skills of worship, the basic skills of prayer, and then as we get into these sorts of things, what is legislating, administrating, and even things like history from God's perspective. And just, it's almost like he wanted to revamp the educational system. But all of this in this home that was here in San Diego, that was this just supernatural plot of grace. So you know, I was just blown away by, like, the tears rolling down my face. I get to the end of me, and he says, and if you accomplish this, would you then feel like your life had significance?
Yes!
But you get to the end of that, and you're like, okay, here's my life. I have nothing to do with ministry. I have no ambitions to ever be in ministry. I have my own career, which is separate from that. But this thing just draws on me so much that I spend time in prayer just, like, calling out for it. Mm-hmm. Calling, being, telling angels to go forth and set it up, bring the people who have something to do with this in. And then he would give me things at different times, which I thought were completely unrelated, which is yesterday. I was having a big moment because as he's going through this, he started weaving all these things together. I had this experience when I was traveling to the Middle East because there was going to be some potential arrangement with the hospital out there. And I put on Luke chapter 9 and sometimes let the verses or scriptures play overnight. And I woke up in the morning, it was like Holy Spirit would stop me each verse and say, and this means this, and this means this, and this means this. And it was way out of context for what Luke chapter 9 is. It's kind of early in Christ's ministry, but it was like three epochs of the church age. It's very much what he's talking about with the Joshua generation, where God sends, or Christ sends them out two by two, representing Christ, and they go out and they minister to all the people. Then he pulls back to a place alone. And that's when the 5,000 gather, and the disciples are alongside Christ, and he's multiplying the bread and delivering to them. And the Holy Spirit was talking about, we're going from this age where the church has been sent out from Christ, and they're bringing their personality and their interpretation and their spin on who Christ is to the world, and it's created factions. But we're moving into a time where we get to be hand in hand with Jesus at our side, having this sort of intimate personal relationship with him, ministering with him instead of going out from him. Mm-hmm. And he said, look at the number. There's 5,000. And look at what he sits in it, groups of 50. So how many is it? It's 100. What does 100 represent to you? Everyone. All of them. 100%. That's right. He said, all those groups, that's 100% of all of the different factions or divisions of Christianity, all sitting at the feet of this newly established divine government. Mm-hmm. And what do? When they divide the bread and hand it out, they take up 12 baskets full. How many people are delivering the baskets? 12 disciples of Christ, that they have submitted themselves to this divine authority. And within that, just like Mike was describing, every single need is met. Like, we're moving for this time of grace to great grace, where this is getting ready to take place. And then he showed me that in respect of one other aspect, that this is also for a period of time. And during this period of time, it's really essential that they understand the heart or the core of who Christ is. He's not the miracles. He's not the benefits. He's not all these other things that we're getting. He's self-sacrificial love. Because after this comes this pruning before the final coming of Christ. Man, I just was blown away by this whole thing. But yesterday what I was getting is this transition into this embassy, that's what it's operating out of, is this where every need is met. Yeah. under that house. And in these situations that God's setting up, it's going to be this great grace where they're going to come under this provision where, you know, it manifests in every area of life. People's businesses are going to be blessed. Scientific discoveries are going to be blessed. It's going to be like this Renaissance time where that's why education is a part of it. All this comes out. But this is this little piece. What do we have? We're to build this little piece here in San Diego to begin to bless and have this place to does that. So how do I get from here to there? I have no idea. And it's one of these things you don't really share because it's kind of so bizarre and far out there. It's kind of like, we're going to terraform Mars.
Yeah.
You know? Hey. But when I said, I started sharing this with Mike and he was like, uh-huh, yeah. I thought, but nobody's ever said, uh-huh, yeah. That's nice. Thanks for sharing. So, I don't know what it all means or what to do with it. When Mike comes and says he sees the angel of that, and this is something, you know, and he's praying into this, I'm seeing this stuff in front of me, I think, wow, God, you're really behind this. This is just my fanciful imagination. And, you know, what's the next step?
The Lord's also been speaking to me over the past 5 years or so, very similar things about establishing these palaces, almost like a place of connection between heaven and the earth, and he showed me different visions of it. So there were also people living in there, and they were studying and worshipping the Lord, and they also acted as guards, and they had different functions.
Because when you think of Joshua, he established a nation of 12 tribes. And the priesthood and everything else, it was organized. It wasn't just random. And God organized them. God organized them originally in families and clans and tribes. And if we're going to run an embassy of heaven, it is going to need administrating.
Yeah.
Heavenly administrating, earthly administration, all different peoples with different functions, all working together, but in a totally different way. Yeah, in oneness, in unity of the heart. And it will be a place that draws people who will become those who you're going to educate and equip and train and release. So it'll be a storehouse for a harvest that's coming.
Okay. The other one that gave was kind of funny is, you know, the X-Men. Like movies, you know, the movies are always prophetic.
Yeah.
I was turned on X-Men, and he's like, and this is a nice picture of exactly what the embassy is. And you bring in these people who have these supernatural giftings.
Yeah.
And he would build them up and he would train them and he would educate them and he would teach them how to contain their powers and how to use them for good.
Yeah.
And then pair them up and launch them out into their ministries. So that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, it is.
So they're like an airplane too that flies out of the basement.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. So, did anyone feel, in terms of when we engaged, that God gave them a heart for anything like that? Or in terms of an embassy? Or because, you know, I'm just here to help facilitate whatever God wants to do. It's like, you guys got to do it. I love to help and get alongside people and support them in what they're doing. But ultimately, you know, someone's got to say yes. Some people have got to say, yeah, I'll choose to do this. Okay. So I would encourage you to talk and to, you know, keep gathering together, keep seeking what God's going to do, you know. And if it's not, because, you know, it's not just one thing, there'll be lots of things that God establishes in different, with different blueprints, different things. So it's not just only one. There may be different things in different areas in different regions, but I know one of them will be here. And I think, you know, if this can be a place that can actually encourage and support you to continue to seek for what God wants to do, then, you know, I'd encourage you to keep doing that. You know, don't just let this be a one-off that someone comes and speaks. Actually, you know, let this be a catalyst for something new, where you seek God for your hills and you hear God and God gives you vision and those angels that you're going to meet with them and you're going to engage with them.